Welcome to the Scaling Through Structure podcast. I'm your host, Austin LaRoche, and we are here to learn about the winning systems that business leaders use to find success. If you believe in the power of organization, frameworks, and scalable processes, then this is the pod for you. Let's go. Okay, I'm super excited for today's episode. I am here with Rob Talbot from Chief Outsiders. How's it going, Rob?
Going great today. How about yourself?
Good, good. So this is going to be a fun little episode. We're going to switch it up a little bit. A lot of times we're talking to entrepreneurs and CEOs about their structure, how they build their business, how they scale their business through systems and processes. Now, Rob has a super, super cool perspective on this because as a fractional CMO, he essentially comes in and helps with this on the marketing side. Is that a good summation of what you do, or can you break it down a little bit more?
You know, it's a little broader because we do talk to business owners and entrepreneurs. They usually come to us when they're stuck and they think it might be marketing, but when we do our diligence, sometimes it's a sales issue, sometimes it's an operations issue, and sometimes, especially with entrepreneurs, it's getting them to focus because they love to pivot.
Absolutely. And I like what you said about being stuck, because I feel like a lot of people are stuck and they're looking for help. And a fractional CMO can come in and really, really create that system. So when you work with a new engagement, what is your process for starting to help them get on the right foundation?
Right. So exactly what you just talked about, we look at people, process, technology, and then we do that through a lens of first looking at insights, customers, channels, competition, to develop a strategy, and then find agency owners like yourself to help us execute that strategy. But what I think is different in a fractional CMO versus a traditional CMO is they're paying us to show value quickly, right? So when I come in, there are things that I like to do that will immediately provide insight. So one of the things I love to do, for instance, I call it the 3x3x3, send out a questionnaire to the entire company or senior leadership, depending on the size. What are three things we do well? What are three things we can improve upon? And if you ran marketing, what are three things you would do to move the needle? And it's that can be done within a week. And it really sets the roadmap, one, to figure out how do we capitalize on what people are doing well? How do we fix what they're not? When we ask about what they would do if they ran marketing, you know, a lot of great ideas come up. And that's something that will help me figure out what I should do. And it also helps figure out alignment. So if the CEO is saying, well, I think my issue is here, but gosh, everybody else in the company is pointing another direction, it's very interesting and easy for me to help engage the CEO and help him figure out, you know, what's going on.
Well, I love that. I think that's a really cool process. I guess some follow-ups are, one, do you make people put their name on it, or do they do this anonymously?
Anonymous. Okay. I love the anonymity. I want people to share. I want people to know that you know, I'm not coming in to do anything specific. I want to learn and I want to figure it out and move forward. And then the second thing, which creates a really great discussion, is just diving into their digital analytics, going into Google, seeing what's going on. What, you know, why did traffic drop? Why was engagement up? Can we look and see the efficacy and efficiency of what you're doing with your ad spends? So that's something you can go. I have a template. I can pull the information in. And pretty quickly, that's a great conversation to have with the CMO or the CEO. Why are people dropping off here? What is going on? You know, you think this content is important, but nobody's looking at it. So that's the second piece that I do. And then Usually, they've never done any voice of customer. If they have, it's not current. And it could be as simple as, asking the net promoter score, rating us on a scale of 1 to 10, or helping us figure out who their customer is. A lot of times, I'm really surprised that they don't know, who's buying their product and why. Why do they buy from them versus the competition? What makes them special? And that all helps me figure out what sort of the next step, which is their unique value proposition, right? What makes them special? And what I love to do with that is once we get the customer perspective, bringing in senior leadership and just having a discussion of, all right, well, here are the things people said. How would you rank them? What makes you really different? And what I like about that is it gets alignment among the senior management. So now we have what we want to hang our marketing, our marketing positioning on. And is that seen throughout everything? Because we know now, 80% or so of the buyer's journey starts online. So how are they showing up with that on their website, in their LinkedIn, in social media, in their advertising, in their email? Are we talking about what is resonating with their clients? So that's all part of the insight phase, and it can take a couple months. And I think that's also an educational issue with these CEOs, especially with entrepreneurs. They want to move, they want to move. But I don't want to continue that whack-a-mole marketing, that chasing the shiny object, or fishing in a lot of ponds. Let's take these 2 months to make sure that we're setting up the people and the processes correctly so that we are more efficient and we are more effective. And that brings me to the technology. Are we capturing the right information? Do we know who these people are, where they're coming from, what they're doing? Does sales have reporting that shows what's going on? Do we have a CRM that can help us maximize this? These are all things that will come out in that phase so that when we start to spend money, we know where we're spending it and we can optimize much smarter.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people don't even realize what the technology can do, right? Like you can paint a promised land for people that can blow their minds, where sales and marketing can see all the activity of a customer on their website, what they're opening, how long they're looking at documents for, all of this consumer intelligence and tools, such as HubSpot. And I know Salesforce has some stuff too. But for some people, it's just like, it's a whole new world and one that is hard for them to wrap their heads around.
Yeah, I was just talking to a client, and exactly as you said, they are like, well, our database has 60,000 people. Why aren't we generating more? And until I went in there and realized, well, only 10,000 of them have email addresses, so you're not con and of those, a lot of them are fake. So it really does take that analytical tool. And the nice thing these days is using AI, we can overlay that into the HubSpot reports, into their Google Analytics, into everything to help us really pull out the top information that normally might have taken us a long time. So you're right. I like to build that basement of the house so as we're doing things, we can really quickly optimize, pivot, and learn. Who are our customers? Who's coming back? How long does it take them to come back to buy a second time? If they buy this product, should we recommend these products? These are all things that a good CRM, we should be able to pull out report on for marketing. And then, as you said, really meet with sales and say, this is what we're seeing. Are you seeing it? What objections are you hearing? What can marketing do to support you to get better leads? Now that we're doing a campaign, we're the phone's ringing more, but are we sending you the right people? And can we use like a HubSpot, for instance, when we look at the marketing funnel and we say, well, marketing sent this lead, sales then moved them to qualified. If that ratio is really weak, marketing is not sending the right people. And you know, as we move down the line, we can really figure out through the HubSpot, how long does it take to get a proposal out? What can we do in that time? And are we onboarding people correctly? And then the last phase I like to say is like, now, are we turning these folks into evangelists? What is sales doing? What can marketing do to help these people who like us, you know, spread our word?
Yeah, I feel like data and analytics tell so many stories. Some of them are fiction, some of them are scary. And really being able to analyze data is an area where, even like a company like ours is heavily focused on, because there's a lot of numbers that can look really good. For instance, I have a client who is ranking very, very well for really bottom funnel keywords on just organically, not getting any conversions, and putting all this time and effort from the SEO side. You're high-fiving because you're like, all right, we are getting there, we are climbing where we want to be. But from that conversion rate optimization side, we're not getting the leads, let alone the quality leads, to actually move the needle. So I feel like the numbers are kind of like, it's almost like it's getting to be scarier for sales and marketing, because boy, are we responsible for more than ever. And for some of us, that really excites us. But for some people, those numbers are pretty scary. Do you find sometimes sales and marketing, when you really start analyzing and digging into the numbers, the blame game gets even worse between the two?
Well, it's not only the blame game, it's figuring out what was going on. You know, you bring up an interesting point. You know, sometimes marketing will, and this is actually a chief outsider's company thing, website traffic is going way up and keywords were going way up, but leads were not going up. And we realized we were writing a lot of great content, and the people who were reading it were MBA students and junior marketing people, because it was all 101 stuff. So everything was great when you look at what's going on with, you know, how to be a great CMO or what should we look at. But when we retooled our blog and content strategy to be PE specific, CEO specific, entrepreneur specific, traffic went down, but leads went up. So it's incumbent upon marketing, and as you said, you know, we can point to, boy, look at this. We're now ranking for 10,000 terms, and we were only at 8. But are those the right terms, and are they attracting the questions that your target audience might be asking versus what you think people might want to hear?
Yeah. So when you start engaging with a company, what are some assumptions that you feel like they have going into the engagement that they end up being quite surprised by once you get really start getting in the weeds with them?
Well, it's interesting, and as an agency owner, you probably see this too. I would say 90% of the time when I write a scope of work, we'll do discovery and they'll say, well, this is what's happening, this is the issue. We get in, you lift the hood, and it's pivoting, right? It's, you know what? It's not a cost per lead issue. It's you're sending too many call, you know, we're sending too many leads to sales, so they're getting wasted, right? So maybe we dial back marketing or whatever we're trying to do. It seems that you really have to kind of take it with a grain of salt to know that a lot of these CEOs don't, you know, they don't live in marketing numbers the way we do. It's really up to us to take their assumptions, test it, and come back to them, and then come back to them, not to say that's wrong, but the other thing they're paying for is, well, what do we do? So I never say, well, this is what we found. I say, well, this is how we can correct it, and this is what we should test. And the other thing is to really get them into a test and learn mentality of, you know, if we're doing TV, you got to give me 2 weeks. You got to let it go. If we're developing a social media strategy, it might take time. And the other thing people don't understand is like Oh, we're doing keyword buys, but Google needs a couple minutes to figure out. It's a robot. It's got to figure out that when you're talking about cloud, you're not talking about clouds in the air, you're talking about cloud computing. So don't surface my ads in front of weather enthusiasts, right? So it's about explaining what we're doing, giving us a second or a beat to really learn so that we can get smarter. In what we're doing. And then, the other thing is to figure out what is the low-hanging fruit and then where do we want to be, as we get smarter and smarter.
Nice, nice. So one of the things that I know that we really like to talk about here are systems and structure. And with that, to me, is this obvious challenge of adoption. So when you broke it down earlier, you said we come in and we fix people, process, technology. Process and technology now play hand in hand. So how is it that when you come in, what's the best way to set yourself up for success with a new company to get them to adopt a process and a technology simultaneously? Is it creating the process within the technology? Is it kind of starting with the technology they're using and then try to integrate? Like, what is that like? What's that relationship like?
It is tough because every company that I work with, like there's does IT own Salesforce and data and all integrations? Does marketing? Who owns the analytical piece to that? Is that marketing? Is that in sales? Is that in finance? Is it part of the CE, the CFO's responsibility? So the first is to figure out the landscape. Who owns it? What does it do, and what is the outcome? I'm working with a nonprofit now, and it's really interesting because you sign up volunteers, that's in one database. Donors are in another database. They're not talking to each other. So we're trying to figure out one, first you have to map it out. And map it out to the buyer's journey. So awareness, I want to give to this charity. I want to volunteer for this charity all the way through signing up and donating. Then you figure out what are the important KPIs that we want to learn. And then we have to figure out, and this is where agencies and myself have to come in and say, well, for you, I recommend this because we've all heard about like for instance, in CRM, you can buy the big guy, but that's buying the Cadillac, and it's so complicated, and you're going to fail because no one's going to know how to use it. So we really have to meet our clients where they are. And if they're in Excel spreadsheets, maybe not buying the highest level of, I don't want to name any companies, but we don't might not need to buy them right now. We might need to figure out what we can, but the other thing that we need to do is tell them, well, you're a $10 million company, and in Discovery, you said your goal is to be 20 million in 2 years and 50 million in 3 years. You can't get there in Excel. So let's think about the end state and bring it back in. And the other thing really is not only to socialize this with the CEO, but make sure that at least as a fractional CMO, I'm in all executive meetings because I need to socialize this and get it through. Because if I need to get on tech's roadmap, I need to make sure they understand why I'm doing this and why it will save them money and why it's important for the company so I can reprioritize what we're trying to do. So it's a whole process of figuring out where they are now, where they need to be, getting them to agree on the KPIs and then getting all the stakeholders. I don't want to institute a new CRM if the company is just in Salesforce and loving it, but marketing is in HubSpot. Well, you know what? Today we can integrate the two. Now we don't need to switch. So, but we should, the other piece is to figure out, well, if we're paying for these two, are we overpaying and we might have to rip the Band-Aid off one team versus the other. So the nice thing about being an outsider is I can come in and make that objective decision and then socialize it to get consensus versus a traditional marketing versus sales versus IT versus finance, because we do want to look at somebody came in to our website, they bought something, so the finance department wants to know lifetime value and repeat purchase, and sales wants to know who are my best customers, and marketing wants to drive those people for the least amount of money possible. So we have to work with all these departments to create that 360 view. And in the technical world, we've all seen that marketing technology graph that gets more and more complicated every year. It keeps us on our toes and it keeps my hair gray. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, I kind of feel like we're in this like almost like data reckoning phase, right? Like everybody, all companies, let's say legacy companies, got websites in the late 90s and the 2000s, and we're kind of figuring out a few things, started really capturing customer data a lot better through CRMs in the 2010s. And now I think that they're realizing that all that data that they've accumulated over time is, nobody does it cleanly. I've seen HubSpot's CRM. It's not clean. And now it's like, oh my gosh, like now we really have to like, we got to clean up. And it just kind of become this natural evolution. Would you agree with that?
Well, not only do you have to clean, I find what we're circling around is almost attribution and where is the source of truth. And even within, things that you think are right, Google Analytics has first touch and last touch and will do. You look at it and you go, well, how do I get a quarter of a person? Well, oh, because they're assigning three quarters of that purchase to email and one quarter to, the last social media where they came in. And so you're never, you're almost, it's almost like impossible to, unless you're $100 million company and can really spend the money to do multi-touch attribution. For my smaller clients, I'm like, let's just pick one and go with it. Otherwise, we will be forever mired in the weeds of this email platform said we did this, or I'm even having it now where I have one agency buying television, one agency buying paid search, and they are fighting over leads. That's mine. I can tell it came in here. You can get so granular. They didn't do a brand search, so even though it ran, 2 minutes after the commercial, that's still mine, and I want credit because my cost per lead, is messed up if I don't. So, you're almost being a referee and saying, kids, calm down. You're both beautiful, but for this one, I'm just going to assign it here, and let's just be done because I can't go any further down the funnel. It'll take me too much time to figure it out. So you're right. In this world of all these tools, we can get smarter, but we can also get crazier. So I try to find that happy place of this is where we are. We're a $10 million company, and this is what we're saying. I like it directionally. This tells me where we need to go. Let's leave it at that for today.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I always say that marketing sits in the it's this balance of art and science, and we've gotten a lot more scientific, but you would think through that we've got even more clarity. But you're right in that interpretation side makes it incredibly ambiguous among different in your example, two different marketing agencies. I know sales wants to have a word with this and in their role. And it's a good time. It's a crazy time. I think you kind of have to structure everybody together to at least have a team effort, right? Like this is the KPI that we're going towards. We're going towards there. No one's blaming anybody else. We're kind of giving you all a little bit of credit as best we can, but let's keep rowing. Does that sometimes get hard? Just managing all the relationships.
Absolutely. I mean, that's my job is to quarterback, right? And the nice thing about being an outside person is I have that perspective and I can tell people and we can go. And you know, it's interesting when you talk about like the art and science, that made me think about the people part of this equation and things like SEO and paid search and these new omni-channel platforms like Mountain. I rely on agencies like yourself who live in it versus, you know, should we have an SEO person in-house? Not at your size. Let's keep that person going. But I've got to tell you, when we hit an ad budget of 10,000, 20,000 a month, then it's time maybe to bring the paid search person in. Or if email isn't bringing in 10% of revenue, we should, and our revenue supports it, we should bring in hire an email person. So using that data to help us figure out when it's time to use agencies and people.
Yeah, the people component has to be interesting in your business. And going, you keep saying, like, as an outsider, well, I know when somebody brings in the outsider, a lot of times people start getting scared, right? Like, whoa, why do we have an outside? Well, because whoever's doing everything on the inside, something could be better. We'll just say something could be optimized. And you did mention that you go and you make sure that you go to as many leadership meetings as possible so you can make face with everybody. But what is generally the obviously, you're going to try and go in and have as honest of an interpretation as possible. You're a wonderfully nice person, so I'm sure you make a great impression. But what is kind of the vibe that you get a lot of times from these different leadership teams? I assume it varies, but could you give me some different examples?
Absolutely. And I can provide that outside perspective. And people are paying me to be honest, right? And especially that CEO, they're lonely. They don't have people to bounce ideas off of. They don't have people to ask, you know, is sales, you know, really killing it? What do you think of, you know, how is customer service integrated? So to have someone like myself and someone like yourself as this outside person to just be that ear, that trusted advisor. And I will tell you that even though I'm hired as a CMO, boy, I can't even guess the percent of my time is spent on non-marketing issues when we come into an organization. And it's my job to surface these things, to share them in a way so we can get over them. And I really do try to facilitate some broader discussions besides marketing because I can do it in really a calm, you know, non-judgmental way to get these teams to work together, to work smarter and faster. And that's a great perspective. And the other thing is my goal, you know, unlike companies might need, for instance, when the entrepreneur might need a fractional CFO until they hit a certain level and then they bring somebody in-house. My goal is really to say, this is where you are. I'm going to hang out for 6 months. If you need me, you know, to hang out longer at a lower level, but I should be able to analyze everything and tell you at the end, hire an agency, bring in a marketing manager, bring in a VP role, get that going so that they can come in and people have hired me and then come back in 2 years and said, well, now we're at X million. What should we do? What's our roadmap look like for the next 18 months? So it's nice that as an advisor, I can come in, answer these questions, and then come back if they need me.
No, that's cool. And I think one of the things that's been great working with chief outsiders like yourself and some others, because you guys are truly are the best in class when it comes to the fractional CMOs, is that you're able to meet companies where they're at. So help the audience understand where you come in for small versus mid-market versus enterprise.
Absolutely. So, and I do try to meet people where they're at because, and you could say, you know, we're all in this, like, you know, nobody can, people hire a fractional CMO because they want that strategic thinking, but they can't hire that full-time CMO at whatever 100,000, hopefully, they're making. And So we do meet people. So for instance, if I'm talking to a $5 million company, I can't go in and say, I'm going to charge X thousand per month and I'm going to be here for 6 months. And then I'm going to come out and recommend that you spend X thousand a month on advertising. That's never going to fly. So we chunk the ask. So maybe we come in and we say, if your big issue is top of funnel lead generation, let me just do a project for you there. Or if we need to figure out who is the ideal customer profile, let me do that. Or if they're humming along and they want to grow, well, let me come in and develop that growth strategy to get you from 5 million to 10 million. What percent of your revenue are you spending on marketing? How does that benchmark? And are you comfortable going from 5 to 10 to get us there, right? So it's setting up the expectation. And if they can do that, then I can come in and work with them to get them there. So it's exactly as you said. Where are they in their trajectory? What are they trying to achieve? What's their revenue? What's the percent based on their margin that they can spend so that I can tell them, let me come in at this level. And then the second thing is, well, if you want to accelerate, well, then let me push this forward, but that's going to be more of my time. Or maybe I need to bring in a second CMO who can do the research or do the digital analysis while I'm working on branding and positioning. Or if we know the issue is HubSpot integration, you guys are platinum. I can hire you, bring you in, and set that up as a second piece. So it's really figuring out, as you said, where they're at, where they're trying to be, and then structure something that makes the most sense to get them there.
All right. Well, this has been pretty good. I've really enjoyed like hearing some of the tools that you've used to be able to bring that structure. But one thing I like to always ask before we go, where does structure come into the personal life? Where, how do you structure your weeks? How do where maybe give us a routine or a system, something that you do to optimize yourself when you do get to step away from work?
The one thing that I do, and this sort of bleeds into work and how I structure it, most of my business comes from referral. And if you're not out talking to people, and if you're not building that funnel, so I the same way I talk to sales teams, if I want to close X deals a year and I, build that funnel back to how many phone calls do I need to make? And I block out, a half hour on my schedule that isn't touched so I can do the emails, have the meetings. I try to do two meetings per week in person. I drink a lot of expensive coffee and cheap wine. So
Well
that sort
done.
of bleeds into what my week looks like. And then unfortunately, this is a podcast. I'll show you. I have my to-do list, which has, I keep it of what I need to accomplish that week by client. And if it requires thought time, I'll block that out on my calendar.
Awesome.
And then the other thing I try to do is make sure that I'm getting up and getting 30 minutes of walking a day. So block out two blocks of time during the day to get out, get air, so I'm not sitting at my desk all day. So that's part of how I structure my time. And then the other thing that I like to do is just make sure I'm learning. So how am I, what business book am I reading and how am I sharing that and doing all those other things?
All right. Any business books you've read lately that you'd recommend?
Chief Outsiders has a great one. It's called Growth Gears. No, that's self-satisfying.
That's okay. You're allowed to promote. You're a company man.
I do. I mix personal books with our business books with personal. Right now, I'm reading Stephen Wright, who's a comedian, and it's great. So that's the other thing is just make sure you keep the other parts in there too. And when I'm working, walking, it's always podcasts, and it's a mix of, my favorites are true crime, so mix those in with
Nice.
the plethora. including yours, of podcasts that are out there that help me be a better marketer.
Awesome. Well, Rob, this was absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for being here. I loved it.
Me
Is
too.
there any place where the listeners can find you?
Check out chiefoutsiders.com. I'm listed there, and as well as the 120 other of us. Great thing about Chief Outsiders is no matter what your problem, marketing-wise, size of your company, location, or vertical, somebody in this company has seen it and done it. So that's the exciting thing also, is just learning from each other and knowing that when you hire Chief Outsiders, you don't get me, you get 120 CMOs that share knowledge and information with each other to serve our clients.
That's awesome. All right. Thanks again, Rob. I appreciate
Thank
you.
you. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much for listening to the Scaling Through Structure podcast. This pod was produced by Sabrina. If you liked what you heard, do us a favor and subscribe or leave a 5-star review on the platform of your choice. If you want to be a guest and share with the world your winning system, head over to podcast.atakinteractive.com/guest and fill out your information accordingly. To connect, send me an invite at www.linkedin.com/in/AustinLaRoche. That's AustinLaRoche. We appreciate each and every one of our listeners, and especially you. Until next time, I'm Austin LaRoche, and we will see you soon.